MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Tim Edwards. He's Managing Director, Index Investment Strategy at S&P. Tim, appreciate the time. The latest SPIVA index published by yourselves, South African Scorecard, is just out. First two questions, what is SPIVA and how long have you guys been doing this? Because by my memory, it's probably a couple of decades by now.
Hi, Simon. Thanks ever so much for having me on your show. So what indeed is SPIVA? Well, it's an acronym, actually, S-P-I-V-A, and it stands for S&P Index Versus Active. And it's a scorecard. What we do every 6 months is we provide an update to the industry, letting folks know how have active stock pickers, bond pickers been doing. And very specifically, there's a lot of data in there, but the one that gets the headlines is how many actively managed funds beat the index, how many lagged behind. So the latest statistics are running up to the halfway point of 2025, and our report was freshly published last week, giving a sense of where active managers have been doing well and where they haven't. And just last thing, you're right. It is actually 10 years since we started publishing the South African scorecard. We've been running our reports in the US for a little longer, over 20 years. But for 10 years now, we've been providing updated statistics, helping investors know what are their chances of beating the benchmark.
And that's the key point. And this is not about naming and shaming. You don't point fingers at individuals or fund managers. This is a scorecard, a sort of an aggregate. But the data comes and the data says fairly clearly that only about a quarter of the active managers locally are beating their relevant benchmarks indices.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, in the first half of 2025, you needed to be better than in the top quarter if you were a domestic stock picker.
Yeah.
The winds were blowing hard in the other direction. If you were benchmarked against the South Africa 50, which is kind of the mega cap names, the biggest companies, 92% of actively managed funds lagged behind in H1 2025. The biggest stocks were very hard to beat. If you take a broader perspective, take the whole South African market, composite index and cap the largest names, it's a little bit better, but still pretty grim reading. 81% of managers underperforming in H1.
Is there some issue around, potential index concentration? I hear this a lot, and this is a factor of our index, the likes of NASPAS, Richemont. It's a factor of US indices. We know about what's happening in the S&P 500. Is that a valid, I don't want to say excuse, but a valid thinking?
It's part of the dynamics. It's not all of it. So when you have periods when the largest stocks do better than everyone else, then capitalization-weighted indices will often beat traditional stock picking. There was more to it, or has been more to it in South Africa. What we actually saw is, yes, some of the biggest names did quite well, but not all of them. What we actually saw is, to make an analogy, if you have a group of people and 99 of them are average height, and one of them is an absolute giant, then it is hard to be above average because your average is pulled up by a couple of, really, really big outsized returns. And that's also what happened in South Africa in H1. You had a few stocks that did spectacularly well and they pulled up the market averages. And that actually meant that an unusually high proportion, 70% of stocks in the benchmark also underperformed the benchmark.
Oh, wow.
It was essentially hard times to be a stock picker. So we saw that coming through in the short-term data.
The short-term data, if we roll this over the longer term, and short-term bonds, we'll talk separately in a moment because that seems to be a little niche in its own. You've got this out to 10 years and the numbers change, but the trend broadly remains the same, where it's about a quarter, in some cases less, who are able to beat the index over the longer terms as well.
Yeah, the short-term numbers are driven by market dynamics. The long-term numbers are actually driven a little bit more by fees and survivorship, which we might also talk about.
Yeah.
So we do produce numbers running out to 10 years. Those are more structural. And indeed, over the long term, we are seeing, depending which index you compare it to, around three quarters more in the case of versus mega caps, two thirds in the case of the broad market. Mm-hmm. Underperforming the index. And I think that suggests not that it is impossible to find outperforming funds, but doing so is not easy. And the implication is sometimes people think that a passive approach, getting the market, is settling for average.
Yeah,
what our data suggests is It's not quite settling for average. It might, in fact, be considerably better than average.
I like that point. You mentioned survivorship. If I've got a fund and it's, I don't know, 5 years old and doing poorly, I close it. I fold it into another fund that perhaps is performing better. How do you manage that survivorship? Or is it just a case of, as time goes out, the number gets smaller?
I mean, look, this is super important to our report. The concept here is, imagine the choices that faced you 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you need to take into account that many of the funds that were available 10 years ago are not available today. When I say many, in the case of domestic South African equity stock pickers, 40% of the funds that were available for sale 10 years ago are not available today. We count them as underperformers. Wow. Because at some point during the period, they were merged or liquidated. And actually, as you go out to, you know, the longer term statistics, thinking about what was available 10 years ago is super important, because it's not typically the best performing funds that are wound up. It tends to be the underperformers. And that means that if you're looking today at all the funds that have 10-year track records, many of them will have good track records, but they are the survivors. And that's an important bias, if you like, in the data that we control for in the way that we compile these reports.
Yeah. A quick last question. The short-term bonds. There's one space where active works. I mean, the data is that over all the periods, you've got more than half the active funds actually doing better than the representative indices.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And look, the point of producing this report is not necessarily to batch active or not. It's really important. If there's categories where the managers are doing well, we want to show people where it might be worth their time. Short-term bonds is one of those categories where we saw a majority of active managers outperform over the short term, over the medium term, and over the long term.
Yeah.
There is a mild qualifier to that, which is we've done some analysis looking at how managers outperform. And there is one minor qualifier to that, which is there is the opportunity, if you're in a sort of money market area or very short-term bonds, a cash-like area, you can take on a little bit more credit risk, or you can hold some longer-dated bonds. Mm-hmm. That can generate outperformance, but it will give you a little bit more risk. And that's where we highlight in the short-term bond category, managers are beating the index, but many are doing so by taking on a little bit more risk. That's something to bear in mind when you're assessing active managers in the space.
Yeah, that's a great caveat in that. But we'll leave it there. Tim Edwards, Managing Director, Index Investment Strategy, S&P. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.